21. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in on this cool Sunday morning, a little bit cooler this morning. Had a cool day yesterday here in North Alabama. Looking forward to a really nice day today, according to the weatherman, and we're thankful for that, for all of the blessings that God gives us. We're looking forward this morning to meeting together to worship our God at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens area, we'd love for you to be with us about 9:30 this morning. We'll be worshiping our God, singing praise to Him, praying to Him, studying His Word, all of the things that we want to do to encourage one another as we walk our way that leads to life. We want you to walk that way with us and be with us this morning if you can be. If you're not able to join us, we invite you to join us online. We have live streaming of our services. It's available on our Facebook page. You go to the Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama on Facebook, or you can catch it on our website, eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. You can go there and click on the media tab, and the live streaming will bring up the live streaming of our worship services. We'd love for you to join us that way today if you can. Well, as you look at the world today, you see a lot of bad stuff that's going on for sure. You don't have to watch a newscast for very long to see human beings engaged in horrible activities. And it seems like to me more and more as we go along that very few people who do bad things think that they're going to be accountable for those things. And sometimes they're not held accountable in this life by our judicial system. But it's like even if they're caught doing something, it's very common for, you know, people to blame somebody else for their actions or say, oh, they didn't do it, even when they plainly did do it, you know. It seems like politicians rarely want to take accountability for what they're doing or not doing. But you could say that about a lot of folks in our culture. I think human accountability is a critical thing for us to all think about and to come to terms with. If we think that we're not going to be accountable for our words, our thoughts, and our actions, then we're sort of free to do whatever we want, no matter how good or bad it may be. When we understand that we are truly accountable to a living and all-powerful God who will judge us at the last day, when we begin to understand that, then our words, our behaviors, we guard them much more carefully. You get on social media today, you see all kinds of people saying all sorts of different things that a lot of times just shouldn't be said, that no human being should be saying. They're cruel, they're untrue, or whatever it might be. If we understood that we're really accountable for that, maybe Facebook or Instagram or Twitter is not going to call you on it, but God's going to call you on it if it's wrong. And that's something that we need to understand. A friend of mine one time said that the failure to convict people concerning human accountability is the cause of so much disinterest and apathy in religion. I believe that's true. I believe people are not interested in spiritual things because they don't think they're going to be accountable for their spiritual lives. And they're living life that way regarding everything, really. People are not interested in getting right with God because they don't think God's going to hold them accountable for the things that they're doing. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, one way or another, that sin is going to find you out, and you're going to suffer the consequences for it, be accountable for it, however you want to say that. That's going to happen. Your sin will find you out. We read a story one time about a little kid that stole a talking parakeet, and they caught him. He was asked about it. He'd stuffed the parakeet down in his sweatshirt pocket, but they were asking about, did you take this bird? And he was saying, no, I don't know anything about it. And the bird stuck its head out from the pocket and said, here I am, you know. That's how sin is sometimes. We do it, we think we got away with it, but at one point it's going to come to light. will be held accountable for it before our God. So I want to talk with you this morning about accountability, and I hope you'll listen if you're driving in your car and listening at home, whatever it might be, and think with us this morning about how important it is for us to realize that we are accountable for God. Think about that word accountability. The first half of the word, account, implies that there's going to be a reckoning involving giving an answer for certain responsibilities, taking count, having an audit, you know, of what we've been doing. There's going to be a judgment that's carried out by somebody in authority. This concept is taught us many times in scriptures, illustrated a number of times as well. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a very famous instance of accountability. We call it the parable of the talents. And Jesus is speaking, Matthew 25 and verse 14. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey." So we get the picture here. Here is a man, obviously a wealthy man. He has some servants. He's got goods and possessions that he needs them to take care of while he's gone. So he calls his servants to him, and he gives them some of these possessions. He gives them what the Bible describes as talents. Now, that's not, we think of a talent as an ability, you know, and that's how we use the word in common English. But in the Bible, and the way the word's being used here, it actually refers to a weight of money. And a talent would be actually a considerably large sum of money if the weight of money was gold, for instance, or if it was silver. And that's the idea that we're getting here, that this man who was apparently very wealthy is distributing to his servants large amounts of money for them to take care of and use for his benefit. They're stewards of this money that he's given them, and he's going to give an account. They're going to have to give an account for what they've done with that money. So as the story goes on in Matthew 25, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, here is true accountability. They have this money. They're supposed to be taking care of it, using it for their master's profit. And now the master has come back and basically saying, okay, show me what you've done. Where's my money? What have you done with it? Have you used it to gain me a profit? So he's settling accounts with them. Verse 20 of Matthew 25 says that he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. I've gained 5 more talents besides them." And the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So this man, this 5-talent man, we call him, when he was called to account for what he'd done, he fared very well. And he'd been profitable for his master, and his master is going to give him even more and greater things to do as a result of that. And his future life is going to be a life of joy. Wouldn't you like to be that 5-talent man who took care of his responsibilities and was able to give account for them in a really positive way? Well, he who received the 2 talents also came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So again, the man that was given the 2 talents, the not as much in the way of monetary value as the 5-talent man had, but still it was something to take care of and use and make a profit with on behalf of his Lord. And he's given account for that, and it's a positive one. But the one who had the 1 talent in verse 24 came and said, "Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathered where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours." So the 1-talent man didn't do anything. And when he's called to account for how he used what his Lord had given him, he didn't have a very good answer because he had not done anything good with it. We're going to get back to the 1-talent man after a while, but we see in this context the nature of accountability. The second half of the word accountability is the word ability, and it refers to a capacity or an obligation. So accountability, you're going to have to give count of, you're going to have to give a report for something that you've done, and you have the capacity or the obligation to do that. You might notice in this story, the parable of the talents, these three servants were given their talents, given their responsibilities, really, according to their abilities, it says in Matthew 25 and verse 15. The other thing that you notice is that each person was accountable for himself. So where's all this going for us this morning? What are we to think? Well, the Lord has given to each of us responsibilities. He's given us blessings. He's given us abilities. And he's given us responsibilities corresponding to those abilities. He expects us to do something with them for him. That's why he gave them to us. Those things that he's given to us are not for us to squander. They're not for us to use as we wish. We are going to be accountable. You and I are going to be accountable for what God has given us, starting with our very lives. He has given you life. He's given us life, breath, and all things, the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 17. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow that is cast by his turning, James tells us in James chapter 1. So everything that we have and everything that we are and every opportunity that we're blessed with comes from God. Now, the question is, what are you doing with that? And you might say, well, what does it matter? What matters is that you're accountable for what God has given you. You and I are accountable for what God has given to us. And each one of us is going to stand before God and give an account for all that he's given to us, for what we've done with what we've been given, including, our lives, our brains, our mouths, our muscles, you know, our time, all of it. But we're the ones who will be held responsible. It's not going to be your parents. It's not going to be your kids. It's not going to be your government who's responsible for what you have been given. You're going to be responsible for it. I'm going to be responsible for what I have been given. This is a reality, folks, that we all need to come to grips with. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, in verse 10, there the Apostle Paul writes that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Account of himself to God. We will be giving an explanation for what we did with what God gave us. And we need to be able to say, Lord, you gave me this and I increased it to your glory. I used my life, my time, my mind, my energies, everything I had to glorify you. That's why it was given to us to begin with. You realize that your life was not just given to you to use as you please. There's a purpose for our being here. God created human beings to live, to glorify him, that they might be his children in eternity. We have a purpose here in this life, and we're going to be held accountable again for what we've done. It's important for us to understand that each one of us shall give account of himself. Way back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, tells us that the person who does the right thing will be given the just reward for that. The person who does the wrong thing will be given the just reward for that. You are accountable for what you've done, whether it's good or bad. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked will be upon him. God's going to be just in holding us to account. And you're not going to have to answer for what somebody else has done, but you're going to completely have to answer for what you have done, or as the case may be, not done, to glorify God in this life and to do the things that God is going to hold you responsible to do. Each man is given account of himself, and each man is accountable to God. You may not be held accountable sometimes by your boss, by, human society, by the civil government, for things that you do, whether right or wrong. You may get away with things, or you may do things that are good that go unnoticed, that you never give an account for in this life. but we will all give account of ourselves to God for everything. That's the message that we need to get in our minds this morning. The Apostle Paul visited Athens, Greece in Acts chapter 17, and he told them about a God that they didn't know, the living God, and his son, Jesus Christ. And he tells us about God in Acts 17 and verse 31, that he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God sent his son to this earth. Jesus died on a cross, was raised the third day, and ascended back to the Father. He sits at God's right hand right now, and he is coming in judgment. God will judge us through his son. That's the message here. He will judge the world in righteousness, in justice, by Jesus Christ. So that's the reality of accountability. A question that I think we need to broach at this time is, what are we going to be accountable for? What is God going to call us into account for? Is it just, all the bad things that we've done? Is it just, things we've done where we've hurt other people? Broken one of the Ten Commandments, as somebody said, those Ten Commandments of the old law that the Israelites were under. Is that what God's going to hold us accountable for? Well, God's going to hold us accountable for our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. The scriptures teach this over and over and over again. God knows the secrets of our hearts. Let's start with that. He's going to start from the inside out in his judgment of us. In Psalm 44 and verse 21, the psalmist says that God knows the secrets of the heart, and he's going to judge the secrets of men. Yeah, the secrets of men, the things that you think nobody else knows about and that maybe nobody else does know about, but God does. See, God knows what's going on in your heart. He knows your thoughts. He can see all of that just as clearly as you can read a book. He sees what's going on in your mind and in your heart. In the book of Romans chapter 2, down about verse 16, the Apostle Paul says this. He says that there'll be a day in which God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So all of these things that you think only you know about, maybe that you've done or thought that you've gotten away with or whatever, that's all going to come to light before God. The Bible tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, that God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So all of the good things and all of the bad things, God's got all of that on record. And he's going to bring all of that into judgment. You'll have to give account. You're accountable for all of that. The scriptures warn us then, many times, about harboring evil thoughts, about thinking wrong things. Somebody says, well, as long as I only think it, what does that matter? Well, people, if you're only just thinking it, people around you may never know what you're thinking, but God does. And he is going to hold us accountable for the way we think. One of the reasons for that, of course, is that the things that we think about often turn into behaviors. We've seen just this last week a horrible mass shooting out in San Jose area. Obviously the person that did that was thinking about it for a long time, right? Bad things happen because people think about bad things. And then that comes out in their lives. That was not any secret to Jesus Christ. He certainly understood that concept, that process very, very well. And he describes it for us a couple of times at least. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, he says there, Matthew 12 and verse 34, he's calling upon some of the sinful Jews of his day. And he says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. You see, the things that we say come from what's within us, obviously. And we think about things long enough, we're going to say them. Sometimes we don't think about them very long at all and we say them. But the things that we speak come from within us. Also in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, here Jesus again speaking, he says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things are things which defile a man. These are the things which defile us, but they all come out of our hearts. So God's going to judge the heart because he knows that's the root problem, right? God doesn't see as man sees. He doesn't just see the outward part. He doesn't just hear what you say. He hears what you think, and he sees what you're contemplating in your heart. And so just think about, you're accountable for that to God. That gets pretty serious, doesn't it? When you think about your very thoughts and intentions being judged by the God of heaven. And another thing about that is that sometimes your thoughts and intentions, well before they ever come out, well before they're ever expressed in word or in deed, your thoughts and intentions can be and often are sinful in and of themselves, and God's going to judge all sin for sure. You know, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, the beautiful speech that he gives in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, he says, "You've heard that it was said of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So we've got a lot of people in this world today who view pornography and things like that, who are committing adultery in their hearts. You don't think God is aware of that? He's going to judge you for it. He is. We're going to be held accountable for all of those things. This is a serious matter. Our thinking, our hearts will be held, will be accountable to God, what goes on within them. The other thing that is maybe even more obvious than that is that what goes on in our hearts determines who we really are, determines what our life is all about. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, the wise man said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, your life is going to be defined by your heart. God's not only, though, going to judge our hearts and our dispositions, he's also going to judge our behavior. It's the one who does the will of the Father that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, there Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So if we want to go to heaven, we have to do what Jesus said. It's not a matter of just thinking it, not just believing it, but practicing it. We have to do the will of our Father who is in heaven. And we need to understand that we're going to reap whatever it is that we've sown. This principle of sowing and reaping is obviously something that God has demonstrated to us in creation. Things produce after their own kind. And if you sow a certain kind of seed, it's going to grow whatever plant that is and reap whatever harvest of the seed that you planted. And that's how it works in our lives as well, with our behavior, with our conduct. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So if you live your life just for worldly, carnal, and fleshly concerns, caring about material things, caring about pleasure, caring about physical things of this life, you're going to reap those kinds of things. But the thing is, those kinds of things don't last. They rot. They corrupt. Everything that's physical is that way. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow spiritual things, you're going to reap a spiritual reward. You're going to reap everlasting life. Let's be focusing on doing the things that involve sowing to the Spirit. The judgment of our conduct is not just a judgment on what we have done. It's also a judgment on what we haven't done. You know, I talk to people sometimes about their spiritual lives. They'll tell me, "Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not hurting my neighbors. I'm not," they might list a number of sins that they're not committing. But what are you doing for good? I want to take us back to that one talent man that we looked at the first part of the program this morning. You remember him? There, he was a servant with two other fellow servants, and when the master went to a far country, he gave one of the servants 5 talents, he gave another 2 talents, and he gave this one servant, he just gave him 1 talent. He received the 1 talent, you remember in Matthew 25:24, came and said to the Lord, I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. And his Lord said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Then he commands, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 5 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand that this 1 talent man, who didn't do anything, was condemned for not doing anything? What are you doing to serve the Lord? You're going to be accountable if you're not doing anything. You'll be held accountable for that. Here on in Matthew 25, there's a great judgment scene where the King, Jesus Christ, is sitting on the throne, and all the nations are gathered before him, and he divides everybody into 2 groups, you know, like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And in verse 41, he says to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You notice that? People are held accountable for what they do not do. There are a lot of things the Lord wants us to do. There are a lot of things that he wants us not to do. We need to understand that we'll be accountable for both kinds of things. What are you doing right now? What are you doing with what the Lord has given you? If we know to do good and fail to do it, it's sinful, James 4:17 says. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27 shows us that the one who hears God's word but fails to do it, to him it is sin, and he'll be judged for that. He's foolish. He's a foolish person. His house will fall, is what Jesus says. The wise man and the foolish man teaches great lessons. The wise man built his house on the rock of hearing God's word and doing it. The foolish man built his house on the sand of hearing God's word but not doing it. So again, what about you this morning? We will all give account of ourselves to God for the way we've handled our opportunities, our abilities, for the way we've done or not done what it is that he's asked us to do or not do. It is, as the writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. We're all going to pass this life, and we're all going to be accountable to the God who put us here. Again, getting back to the question, what are you doing? What are you not doing? Are you going to worship God this morning? We want you to worship him. He wants you to worship him. He's told us to do that. Don't not do that. Come out and be with us at East Side this morning if we can. We'd love to have you 9:30 this morning at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast this morning. We hope you'll have a great week and strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ